Hey everybody, thanks for listening to the Mania Media podcast. Joy and I are almost to WrestleMania 32, but we'd like to hear from you for the remaining WrestleManias that we haven't covered yet. So if you have any comments or questions or anything that you'd like to add to the podcast for WrestleManias 21 through 31, email us at mymaniamania@gmail.com or send us a question to Twitter at ManiaManiaPod, and we will include your comments and questions in our next podcast. So thank you for listening. And enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Mania Mania!
Welcome to Mania Mania 21. I am your host, Hollywood Terry Catlett. Here as always with the best tag team partner in the universe, Jouet the Legend Killer Holt.
Yeah.
And today we review for you WrestleMania 21. And Jouet, WrestleMania's gone Hollywood, man.
Yeah, it has.
In a big way. So, audience, if you will, picture the Academy Awards as wrestling. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have here for
that's
WrestleMania
21. That's exactly what it is. There's red carpets and everything.
That's right, Jouet. A lot has happened in the last year since WrestleMania 20.
Yep.
What are some of those things?
Okay, so the 2005 Royal Rumble, it ended with Batista winning the championship.
Yeah.
So Evolution not the championship. He won the Rumble,
okay.
I should say.
So Evolution is on top of the wrestling world.
Yes, they have actually already turned on Randy Orton.
Okay.
So Orton is no longer a member of Evolution. It's currently Triple H, Ric Flair, and Batista. And the seeds have already been planted that Batista's
right
going to be getting the boot.
So Evolution is starting to kind of fall by the wayside. Yes. Interesting.
So in the 2005 Royal Rumble, John Cena and Batista were the last two people. And they went over the top at the exact same time. Very similar to 1994, I'm sorry, with Bret Hart and Lex Luger. Except this one was not planned. They did it. It was an accident that they went over at the same time. So they had to figure out a way to do it. To like resume this match so that there would actually be a winner. And then Vince McMahon comes running out and he's pissed. And he jumps into the ring and tears both of his quads.
Ouch!
Both of them at the same time. He tears both of his quads and then he's just sitting in the ring yelling at everybody.
Damn.
Yeah, he tore both of his quads.
It was a bad night.
Yeah, it was a real bad night. So not just one, but both of them. And then they resume the match. Batista throws John Cena over.
Right.
Batista he wins the Royal Rumble. But since there's a Raw and SmackDown split, he had the chance to go for either of the championships,
okay.
The World Heavyweight Championship or the WWE Championship.
Right.
And he could have gone after JBL,
uh-huh.
Or he could have gone after Triple H. Since they were in Evolution, Triple H was trying to say, no, you should go after JBL. Batista did not like that, so he's going after Triple H.
That's right. So now Evolution is in shambles. And
yes.
So our main event is Triple H versus Batista.
Mm-hmm.
What's another kind of marquee match that they've kind of built an angle for in this one?
So JBL versus John Cena.
Right.
JBL was a heel. He's back now. He is no longer the badass from APA.
Right.
His badass who made himself $1 million on the stock market.
Right.
Which is legitimate. He actually
to me, he was like wrestling's J.R. Ewing, if anyone knows.
Yes,
Dallas.
Exactly. Yeah. Like he wore his cowboy hat all the time. And then against John Cena. John Cena was the United States champion, but JBL had one of his lackeys, who was Orlando Jordan.
Right.
He ended up beating John Cena for the U.S. championship. So then that set up a feud. And then also there's the Money in the Bank match.
Ooh.
Which the winner of that match will get a championship match at any time. So they win a contract and you can cash in that contract for a WWE or World Heavyweight Championship match at any time in the next year.
Wonderful. Well, let's set the stage for WrestleMania 21, April 3rd, 2005, the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. 20,193 people in attendance, and we open on the beautiful Lillian Garcia singing America the Beautiful, one of my favorite WrestleMania traditions.
Yeah.
And we've got a video of the WWE superstars playing famous movie roles. I thought this was a pretty good video promo, because a lot of really cool...
Yeah, at first I thought it was going to be a little cheesy, which it kind of was, but it was also entertaining.
I mean, yeah, they had Eugene as Forrest Gump. They had Triple H as Braveheart. Stacy Keibler in the famous Basic Instinct. Eddie Guerrero and Booker T doing a little Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And then, like, at the end, they had Stone Cold Steve Austin as Maximus from Gladiator. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then we go right to a live audience shot and JR and the King welcoming us to WrestleMania 21. And then we cut to the Spanish announcers, and I didn't understand a word they were saying. And then we cut to Taz and Michael Cole, and I didn't understand a word they were saying. And then we go right to match number one, which is between
Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio.
And this is just for pride and pride only. There are no titles on the line here.
In fact, they are the tag team champions.
Yeah, so they both come down with their belts on, yeah. And I guess we're just going to see who's in charge of the tag team. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But Rey Mysterio, of course, he has his gimmick of being dressed as a superhero or something special for WrestleMania.
Yeah,
I just noticed he was dressed as two different flags. He had the USA flag and the Mexican flag.
I was a little disappointed that he wasn't in a superhero.
Yeah, because like he was the Flash and Daredevil and all these cool things, and he kind of changed it up on this one.
Yeah.
There were some really cool, as you would expect from these two guys, a lot of high spots, a lot of really high-flying things going on here.
Mm-hmm.
To me, or actually one of the notes I put down on this is the perfect opening match for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were fantastic. Like when Eddie was Ray was face down on the mat.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie's standing on both of his hamstrings and pulling his
catapult,
arm back.
I mean,
and then
the surfboard. Yep.
Oh my gosh, that looks so bad.
First time I saw that was Jushin Thunder Liger in WCW. And I'm like, oh
I
man.
Just thought, because it looked like Eddie was trying to take a little care of the hand. Like,
yeah.
He realized that he was very heavy for Ray.
Yeah, Ray's a tiny guy.
Yeah. What did you think about this match? Because really, I mean, so much was happening and going on. They were both getting their moves in. We had the missed frog splash. We had the 619.
Mm-hmm.
They both got everything in. I just thought, like, this was a perfect fast-paced match for the open.
It was wonderful. My first note was like, Ray's really making me look like an idiot for not being in a superhero costume. Because I mentioned that in the last one.
Right.
It was super fast. It was great for Eddie, I think, because Eddie is very rarely the bigger guy,
mm-hmm.
So he got to like throw Ray around, and it looked amazing because Ray's always the little guy, and then Eddie's so fast that those moves look so much better
mm-hmm.
with like Eddie moving at his speed and Ray still being able to do all his stuff and Eddie being able to take care of him. Like that was great stuff, like corkscrew plancha over the top. There was just. Like, Eddie hit such a... There was an arm drag he hit. It was the fastest arm drag I've ever seen. I'm like, holy crap.
Ray went over so fast.
Yeah, so fast. And I just think, overall, like, they were great. Like, Eddie Guerrero does his, like, his version of the three suplexes, which is the three amigos. So he does three vertical suplexes, which is fun. He tried that three times.
Right.
And the third time he finally hit it.
Caught Ray off the top rope and did the power bomb,
mm-hmm.
got the two count, that was really great. And then it ends up with Ray actually getting a Hurricane Rana roll-up for the win. And it was lightning fast how he got that.
Yeah.
Because Eddie was just on top, just really, you know, putting it to him, and then all of a sudden it's just like this really quick, fast win roll up.
Really quick.
So Rey Mysterio goes over in the first match, beats Eddie Guerrero in about just a little under 13 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and WrestleMania's underway, and they're excited, they're ready because we had a good first match.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to mention that there's no tag matches on this card.
It was a limited card. Like, there were only eight matches on here.
It was like the tag team champions are facing each other instead of defending their championships.
Right.
Strange.
I wonder if this was a time where there were just like a lot of injuries or just... Mm-hmm. It seemed like the stable was pretty thin for mm-hmm. WrestleMania 21.
I remember at this point they were also very not super into pushing tag teams. So the tag teams... This tag team was... They're not a tag team. So, they were pushing it in name only.
Well, we only had, like, the one big multi-person match.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have, like, the big 30-men battle royals or mm-hmm. the Legends match.
Right.
Or what, like, wherever they get, like, 20 dudes in the ring so they can get a payday.
Yeah.
It was a lot of one-on-one stuff for this one.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the back, and JBL's walking with his stable of folks, and, of course, you know, they're talking about how great they are, and then they run into Triple H and Ric Flair, who are... Mm-hmm. You know, two guys with the two big heavyweight belts, talking about how, you know, great they are.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, they basically just want to see who's the best out there and all mm-hmm. that stuff, even though they're not wrestling each other.
Yeah.
You know, I guess they're just setting up the end of the match. We cut to a shot of Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider in the first row.
Yep.
Unfortunately, Mary Tyler Moore could not make it.
Oh.
She's not there tonight, unfortunately. And then we go right to match number two, which is between
Chris Jericho versus Chris Benoit versus Christian with Tyson Tomko versus Shelton Benjamin versus Edge versus Kane.
Yeah, this is for the Money in the Bank ladder match that you're talking about. The winner of this match is going to get to cash that Money in the Bank contract in at any time in the next 365 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the combatants come down in the ring one by one through their own special entrances.
Yeah.
But as Kane comes down last, he's attacked by everyone.
Yes.
It seems like all the cruiserweights just say, hey, let's go get the big guy out.
Yep.
And he, it's kind of like a bowling ball and bowling pins.
Yeah, he just knocks them all down.
He knocks them all down and then just goes down to the ring by himself.
Gets that ladder.
What'd you think about this match? I thought they kind of worked it pretty good, but it's another case that we talk about of so many things going on at once, because
mm-hmm.
this wasn't like a staggered entrance where it's like two on two or one on one all the time. It was like a free for all.
Yeah, I thought they did it extremely well, considering what the match is. Everybody had their spots in,
mm-hmm.
so there was always something to focus on. Like, there was always a main focus of the match. There was never really like two things going on at the same time. Like, oh, should I be watching Christian and Chris Jericho, or should I be watching Kane and Chris Benoit?
They seem to compartmentalize the action to a certain segment or certain quadrants of mm-hmm. the arena. Like, there's a segment at the beginning where they're all kind of fighting on the outside of the ring, but it was all on the same side of the ring.
Right.
And then Kane kind of, one of my notes is, the crowd got to its feet as Kane went to the top rope.
Kane splashed off the top.
And splashed all of them. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. This match is interesting. This was actually Chris Jericho's idea. And Edge, who he wasn't even going to be on the WrestleMania card. They didn't have anything for Edge. And then Edge is like, well, just don't put me on anything. And then he's like, that's fine. And then Chris Jericho's like, no, I'll get you in this Money in the Bank match. He goes, no, I don't want to do that. So Edge was like, no, I'll just sit home. I don't have to be at WrestleMania.
The thing that defined his career, he didn't want to do.
Yeah, he ended up, spoiler, he won this match. And then he.
Oh, I'm sorry to ruin that.
Yeah, no, it's fine. we were going to get there. But yeah, he wasn't even going to be in this match, and he didn't want to be in it. Which is interesting.
Wow. One of the peculiar things I thought about this match was Benoit was using submission holds in a non-submission match, which was kind of odd to me. I thought a good spot was when Edge and Christian sandwiched Kane with the ladders.
Yeah.
So they're both just standing at one side of the ring holding a ladder.
Yeah.
And they both just run at Kane and do a sandwich. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, they had a move called the Concerto where they did that with chairs.
Oh,
where they would smash somebody's head on either side with chairs. So they did that with ladders.
They had a lot of ladder spots in this match.
Of course,
and so I've written down just a couple. When Edge was powered, got the T-bone from the top of the ladder by Benjamin,
mm-hmm.
that was a pretty big deal. That little spot where Benjamin ran, like they had a ladder standing upright and then one kind of laying on like a ramp.
Yep.
And Benjamin just kind of runs up the ramp and then clotheslines Jericho off the top. That was really cool.
That was nuts. That guy's... You got to be really athletic, and that's crazy.
Well, what was weird was Christian was holding it so that it wouldn't – he was trying to look nonchalant about it, but he was holding it so it wouldn't kind of
– Well, I didn't see that on the first angle, but when they showed the replay from the top, they showed the replay from the top, like where the briefcase is hanging, and then they just show Christian holding on, and then he looks to make sure that they land properly, and then he's like, oh, no, I got to sell again.
Benoit was kind of dinged up coming into this match. He had stitches in his forehead,
mm-hmm.
Which makes this next move all the more painful. But he does his famous flying headbutt from the top of the ladder.
Yes,
that looked so painful.
Yeah,
and it seemed like he separated his shoulder in the match. I couldn't tell if it was a work or not.
I think it was a work.
Okay,
but I could be wrong.
It looked weird, but like when he hit the ground
mm-hmm.
on that headbutt,
he was
selling the pain. Like he was screaming bloody murder. So
it's very possible. But yeah, there was at one point, I think at the end of the match, he was biting the ring apron, presumably like out of pain. I don't know if he was actually selling it or if it was a work. If it was a work or a shoot, but like that's crazy.
This match ends with Benoit ascending the ladder, but Edge knocking him off with a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And then Edge climbs to the top of the ladder, grabs the briefcase, and Edge, the person that didn't even want to be in this match, is the Money in the Bank champion, and he gets to cash that in at any time. Benoit is just bleeding everywhere for the match. But then we go right to Eugene. They clear the ring, and Eugene comes down to the ring, and he tells us about a midget army that attacked King Kong Bundy.
WrestleMania 3.
Yeah. And he loves – midgets are awesome. I didn't get this at all. I don't remember Eugene at all. So this was kind of a – I didn't know what was going on at this part.
It's really strange to have, like, a mentally handicapped character insulting midget wrestlers. I don't know. He wasn't insulting them, but it wasn't like, I don't know. It was weird.
Since I didn't remember the Eugene character, I didn't understand the reason for like this little vignette or like this little portion. It didn't make sense to me. But Muhammad Hassan comes down to interrupt him. And he's upset because he wasn't included in WrestleMania, and so he starts to pick on Eugene. Until
real American.
That's right. I'm a real American. Hits Hulk Hogan comes down to the ring to step in and kick Hassan's ass, and Adam Sandler is loving it. Hulk Hogan, he runs wild, does the pose down.
Hassan had like legitimate heat because like he was an Iraqi sympathizer, they were calling him, like him and Daivari. So he was like, they had like legitimate heat. I'm pretty sure he got like they let him go because of how much heat he was getting.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks because he's doing his job so well and then he loses it because of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty terrible. Yeah. Basically, to surmise this entire bit, it's, hey, Hulk Hogan needs to be involved in this somehow.
Yeah.
Can we write a little something to get him involved?
Yes, we can.
This is that thing. And so Hulk Hogan's done.
Yeah.
Then we see a video promo of the next match, and that match is match number three between
The Undertaker versus Randy Orton.
And this is a little over 14-minute match for no title or anything whatsoever, which is – it was weird because The Undertaker's entrance took more than that. It was about a 15-minute entrance. To start this match off, I thought it was interesting that Randy Orton was kind of moving around and like I kind of liken it to how Sugar Ray Leonard would start his matches by just trying to bob and weave and duck and dance all over the – which – didn't match Randy Orton's style to me at all. I just thought that was odd.
It was strange because, like, when he walked down to the ring, he was walking down with purpose. He was walking down with, like, a pace. And lately, he's just been so slow. Like, the last – I guess this was the last time he ever walked quickly because he just moved so slowly ever since then. It was strange.
Yeah.
I liked it, but it was weird.
The Undertaker does his usual kind of set of moves. We got old school, and then he started doing this one that I really like. It's he kind of lays that person on the apron and does the leg drop. That looks really. I don't know why. I guess it's the visual optical illusion for me, but it looks really painful. But he's been doing that spot recently. The Randy Sucks chant is really loud during this one. And I can't remember why he started getting so much heat for all of this, but
he was the Legend Killer.
So he
was beating up the old all the old timers. He beat up Sergeant Slaughter, Jake the Snake, I think probably Ric Flair, Mick Foley.
Of course.
Yeah.
Did you like this match?
I did like this match. I enjoyed it. I was, like I said, I was surprised at how Orton was moving because he was moving with speed, which I enjoy. I liked this Orton so much better than current Orton or the last few years. Like, Orton's really good in the ring, but he doesn't move. He moves so slowly that it's just boring.
Yeah.
And this one, to me, wasn't boring.
You mentioned the Legend Killer. That was kind of the psychology of this match. Like, Randy Orton was going through this list of legends, and The Undertaker was going to be the final piece in his legend-killing puzzle. And so that was kind of like the big undercurrent of this match. We had a segment as they start to go home in this one of The Undertaker getting Orton up for the last ride. And then Hebner got knocked out, and Bob Orton comes down.
Yeah.
And he's got the cast
on.
And I just eye popped for that. I thought, oh, that's greatness. He hits The Undertaker with the cast, knocks out Taker. Randy Orton goes to cover and gets the two. Because you finally think, because now the streak is a thing.
Yes.
And so now from this point forward in his career, anytime he starts to get tired or weary in matches, you always have the thing of the streak's over. And this was probably the first time I ever kind of bought in.
Yeah.
Because someone getting knocked out with a cast, you know, we saw what happened in WrestleMania 1 with the cast.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, this was the first time I bought in and went, oh, shit, streak's over.
Yeah.
And then you get that wonderful, you know, just elbow,
just,
or
just
yeah,
slight shoulder,
just a slight shoulder at 2 99/100ths.
Yeah,
and then right after that, you know, Randy gets an arcade. You know, the Taker tries to apply the choke slam,
mm-hmm.
and it's just that RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah,
which only gets another 2 count. Taker struggles to get back up, and he finally gets the tombstone for the win. But I really liked how they packaged the end of this match.
Yes.
And I bought in. I marked up.
It was a really good match. This was my best match of the night for a short period of time.
Don't spoil it.
But it's not.
Okay. Spoiling averted.
Yep.
We go to a video promo for the next match, and that takes us to match number 4 between
Christy Hemme with Lita versus Trish Stratus.
And this is for the women's title, and this is one of the worst matches I've ever seen.
It was not a good match.
Christy Hemme was a I don't know if you, do you just kind of compare her to Eva Marie, or at least like the trajectory of Eva Marie at this point? The really hot girl mm-hmm. that gets everyone's attention that we try to put in the ring and make them wrestle.
Yeah. Yeah, Eva Marie is actually getting better in the ring.
True, but I'm
at this time, I would say yes. Because Christy Hemme, right now, she's just announcing for TNA. She's not even a wrestler anymore.
This is... Because Trish has done a couple good WrestleMania matches.
Yes.
And then her having to lead this one looked really bad. Like, the chops were off. Like, every bump they took was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really looked good in this match.
No. The only good thing was, like, Christy Hemme did a split on the top rope and then rolled Trish up. She did, like, a sunset flip type of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, that was the only thing. Like, oh, that wasn't bad. But it was overall just not a good one.
Yeah, I just thought this was a... You know, Trish had been doing so well, and then I just thought this was a big step backwards.
Yeah, I agree.
This match was a big waste of time for me. Mm-hmm. So anything else on this one, sir?
No, that's good.
Yeah, good. So we could do a video promo for the next match, and that match is between
Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle.
I thought it was cool that HBK comes out first, and he gets up on the turnbuckle, and he seems to be applauding the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who was there for him, but he seemed to have, like, friends and family around because he was – really acknowledging the crowd
mm-hmm.
personally a little bit more than usual.
Yeah.
That's something I noticed.
Maybe just being a good baby face.
Angle comes down super intense, and they have a really awesome stare down at the beginning of this match.
Mm-hmm.
Just the confidence of HBK as he's looking into this,
yeah.
You know, this wrestling killer. Like, yeah. Angle's just a bad dude.
Yeah.
And HBK is just like, I'm going to make you look. He's just so good.
Yeah, like, we're going to have a good match.
This match was really great. We start off with this really fantastic kind of chain wrestling spot where HBK was really showcasing his wrestling moves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not everyone knows, but he's just a fantastic technical wrestler.
Yeah, he's a pretty competent wrestler.
They did a thing where he's got like a headlock on for a long time.
Long time.
And so they're, you know, rolling around and Angle's doing everything he can to kind of get out of it. But
mm-hmm.
no matter which way he counters or flips and flops and all this stuff, HBK just keeps holding on to the headlock. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked it.
In the middle part of this match, it was really just kind of showcased Angle's strength, and so he kind of starts to dominate, and he's just throwing HBK around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about how like this match was structured?
At first, I was like, oh man, are they gonna? This headlock is going on for a long time, mm-hmm. and then like, okay, we're ramping it up, and then by the end of it, I was totally bought in.
Yeah.
I was 100% into this match. It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, they're ramping everything up.
Yeah.
So you can't just start at a 10. You have to start at a 1. And then eventually get to a 10.
Well, and they were given a lot of time, too. This
yes.
was almost a 30-minute match.
Yeah, they were.
So
they had a lot of time.
It wasn't like they had to kind of hurry spots. They could really kind of build some good psychology.
Right.
As, you know, Angle started to take over after the headlock segment. You know, Michaels gets his comeback. We do that cool table thing where mm-hmm. you know, he starts to clean the table. He gets Angle on there. And he does that back spring off the second rope
yes.
onto the table
yeah.
that didn't give.
Didn't break.
And so they're both laying there for a good period of time, which set up a really cool psychology moment of the, you know, the authentic ref count to 10, even though it was for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But you see both of them kind of crawling back to the ring, trying mm-hmm. to make the 10 count a la mm-hmm. the end of Rocky,
yeah.
Rocky 2.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. This is the kind of match that I like where each segment it has the proper amount of damage to
mm-hmm.
it. They both, you know, whichever move they're doing that kind of ends the spot has the proper amount of stall after it to kind of sell the impact of what's happening.
Right.
So everything looks super legit. Mm-hmm. But at the end of this match, they kind of ramp it up to, whereas we had the headlock segment at the beginning for HBK, we got the ankle lock part for HBK, right? So, you know, basically we got a huge ankle lock segment where HBK is doing everything he can to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And then when he, you know, we're struggling to the ropes, you know, we're doing front flips and rolling him up. And then, you know, but whatever he did, Angle would just always get him right back in that ankle lock.
Yeah, there was a couple really cool spots. Like, there one point, Kurt Angle was going to try to German suplex Shawn Michaels. They were both on the apron, on the outside of the apron, and he was going to try to German suplex him. Looked like he was going to try to German suplex him into the table. I'm like, wow.
I know.
I wanted to see that so badly. Yeah, this was really, really cool. Great match. One point, Kurt Angle went for a moonsault, and it was a super tight moonsault.
Yeah.
Like, Shawn Michaels was too far out for Kurt Angle's moonsault.
Mm-hmm.
So when Shawn Michaels rolled away, he had to keep rolling. Usually you only have to roll like once, one time over, and he had to keep like two or three times, and Kurt Angle still almost hit his head.
He did. He did hit his head. He grazed the top of his head, because I was going to ask you about that. Because instead of rolling back towards the center of the ring, he rolled towards the turnbuckle.
Right.
So, you know, Angle's head is coming down kind of right on him, and it looks like he gets close just to the back of him, just a bit.
Just a little, yeah.
But that moonsault looks so great. It seemed like he was in the air forever. It was just like this beautiful laid out.
Yeah.
It looked like poetry. It was fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, there's great stuff on here. Like, Shawn Michaels went for the top rope, went to the top for a slam, and then, or for a splash. Kurt Angle did the Angle slam off the top rope.
Yep. That got
for a two count. Huge pop.
Yeah. That was crab a huge was on pop. His feet. Another great component to this match was JR and the King are selling amazingly for this match. Yes. If you just listen to their commentary, they're treating these guys like they're Greek gods, just having the biggest match of their life.
Yeah.
They're selling how bad each one of the combatants is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It was just great.
Really good match.
We go to that ankle lock at the end where HBK finally has to submit. They make him struggle just long enough for you to buy in, and finally he taps out. And so Kurt Angle gets the win. But this is one of the best matches I've ever seen. Just the psychology and everything. It was
a great match.
Beautifully.
Great match.
Beautifully done. We end with Angle leaving, and then HBK is just kind of in the ring. It was almost like he was saying a farewell goodbye. So that's what I was wondering, like, if this was like maybe a planned last match or something.
No.
Giving Angle the rub or something. But the way he just kind of stood there and looked around, it seemed like there was more intention to this than just, oh, I just lost another match.
That might have been like a way to end the feud, that's just a blow off, you know?
Yeah.
I think so. Like, if he sells it a little bit longer, they're like, okay, I'm done with Angle.
Okay.
Like, cause if he's like, gets out of there like real quickly and like storms off, like I'm still mad at him.
All right. I just added extra meaning to it.
Yeah.
But, one of the things that was so impressive about this was that this was a 30-minute match with no interference or anything from anyone else. It was just these two guys. Like, we didn't have to have Vince come down or, you know, like to take up a segment.
Right.
It was just two guys doing the whole thing. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
HBK gets a standing ovation at the end. Then we go straight to a Piper's Pit segment.
Yeah.
So Roddy Piper comes down to the ring, and then he announces that he's here to do only one thing, and that's talk to Stone Cold Steve Austin. So the glass breaks, and the Bionic Redneck comes down to the center of the ring, and the two icons stare at each other for a while. Yeah. And Piper slaps Austin in the face.
Yep.
And Austin slaps him back.
Yep.
And now we've got a girl fight between two of the biggest heels in wrestling history. And then someone called Carlito,
yep.
Comes out to the ring holding an apple,
talking
to these two legends like he's something.
It seemed like Piper didn't know this was happening.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, time out.
Because he's selling.
Time out, time out. He kept saying time out. Like, what's happening? Did you do this? And it was like, it's.
I really loved how he was working with the what gimmick.
Yeah.
Because it's like he's never done it with that before.
Yeah.
And then at one point, he's just like, hey, you guys got to keep up.
Yeah.
Which was a great way to defuse the what chant.
Yeah, that was a good one. The only other what response that I liked was the Undertaker at one point. He goes, Say what if you sleep with your sister? It was when he was a total heel.
What?
He was like, he was American Badass, big leather coat, long
say
hair.
Say what if you sleep with your sister? Yeah. Carlito's in the ring with these two promo legends, and he is horribly outclassed. I just thought, oh, this poor little boy. He's with these other two stick masters that are about to just bury his ass. But he ends up, Piper ends up taking his apple. Mm-hmm. And so he starts to fight Piper, you know, start beating him. Mm-hmm. And then Stone Cold just watching it. And then Stone Cold figures, all right, I'll get in with this.
Yeah.
Picks up Carlito, starts Stone Colding him around.
Yep.
Gets stomps the stunner. A mud hole. Stomps a mud hole, gets a stunner. And then Piper and Stone Cold celebrate with beer.
Yep.
And then at some point, Stone Cold's like, time to do another stunner. I'm going to do it on...
That he came. I love that Austin came out like with his knee braces on.
Yeah. Hey man, if I'm stomping a mud hole, I need. Yeah. I still want my my bionic redneck apparel.
Yeah,
love
it. That's cool. I get it.
This was a 15-minute segment that was just, I guess, for our entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Had no means to an end. Yeah. It was just a thing.
Went too long, in my opinion.
Yes, it sure did. Mm-hmm. And then we go right to match number 6, which is between
Aki Bono versus Big Show.
Yay! And it's not like it's just a regular wrestling match.
No.
It is a sumo match.
Yes.
So both contestants come down to the ring via their normal entrances, and they're wearing the traditional robes of the sumo.
Mm-hmm.
And then they disrobe, and now I've seen Big Show's ass, which was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start doing the, you know, the traditional sumo match starting ceremony.
Yeah, you know, and the salts and stuff.
The salts and the bending over, and now I've seen Aki Bono's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And
perfect.
And then we do we do a sumo match.
Mm-hmm.
And was this a work? It looked really workish.
Yeah, oh yeah. I have zero notes for this match. But yeah, I'm pretty
none?
Sure. None.
Not even bad ones?
I wrote nothing down for this besides Aki
Bono. So what was your feeling by watching this?
I'm like, why am I watching this? This was
because they're making you. How did it make you feel? Did you feel violated?
It was like it was definitely a work because like the way that they were like slapping and stuff, like ah, and then
it was so weird.
And then like they did like a pull apart, like then they like, oh, we're on equal footing here. And then like just if you can, I'm going to say it's because they didn't want to do another Butterbean thing where, like, Aki Bono comes in and just literally just smashes Big Show.
Yeah, Aki Bono's 6'8",
mm-hmm.
you know, about 500, yeah?
Yeah.
And
I think it was like 519.
It's the only time I've seen someone throw Big Show around it. You got the sense that if Aki Bono wanted to do something, he was going to do it to the Big Show.
Right.
Anytime he touched the Big Show moved.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, shit.
Yeah, that doesn't
that
happen.
That guy's a badass.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it was basically these two behemoths just colliding into one another and then slap fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then colliding into each other again, slap fighting. And then Aki Bono just throws Big Show out of the ring and onto the floor. And now I've seen the Big Show's nuts.
Perfect.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
I saw so much more than I needed to see in this match. So please fast forward to the next match. Match number 7, which is between
JBL versus John Cena.
I take it back. Fast forward through this match too. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is for the WWE Championship. And a JBL arrives on the scene with a motorcade and a big, long, stretch white limousine.
Mm-hmm.
And $100 bills are falling from the crowd until an audience member picks one up. And it's got JBL's face on it, which is kind of, well, shit.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, I thought it was real.
John Cena comes to the ring, and he's in his full rapper mode,
mm-hmm.
so he's super obnoxious.
Dr. Thugonomics.
That's right. What did you think about this match, sir?
I put, like, JBL, he's always been stiff. But
oh, yeah?
But then when they were mentioning, I think it was Michael Cole and Taz, they were saying that he played for the Raiders, and I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, because the Raiders are historically very dirty players,
right,
and just stiff, like they hard nose or whatever they call them.
Mm-hmm.
So then JBL being so stiff, I'm like, oh, that makes sense that he would have played for the Raiders. But generally speaking, like this, I wasn't a huge fan of this match because John Cena, I put, this is a good example of why I don't like John Cena.
Okay.
Because John Cena was getting beaten up for a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then when he gets the cue to go home,
yeah,
he just automatically is like, oh, I'm fine. And now,
yeah,
like I'm fine. Here's a five-knuckle shuffle. Here's the FU.
It's like
I'm going to win.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he did not do his comeback like he was just had just been beaten up for the last 10 minutes.
Right.
Didn't stagger, wasn't wounded in any way.
No.
Didn't have a bum knee or just even some, because JBL was punishing him.
Yeah.
You know, the clotheslines and the stomp downs and the, you know, just the power moves.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah, you're right. It didn't affect him at all.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's just like, oh no, I'm John Cena. I'm good. I'm okay. And yep. Then he does the same thing for the next 10 years.
But one of the notes that I have here is that his comeback didn't get any response from the crowd.
Right.
It's probably for what you're saying
mm-hmm.
until he gets him up in the FU, and then all of a sudden they're cheering a move.
Yeah.
They're not cheering a wrestler.
Right.
So basically his finish is over, mm-hmm. but he's not.
Yeah. It's very strange.
So anyway, yeah. JBL loses. John Cena goes over. He is the new champion.
Yeah.
And the next decade of John Cena begins.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's wonderful. Cena celebrates in, I thought was weird, he jumps into the first row of fans
mm-hmm.
and just kind of surfs them moderately.
Yeah, right?
It seemed like an odd way to end the celebration.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it just, he didn't seem like he was over with the fans, so to go celebrate like you're one of them?
Right.
I don't...
Yeah, like when DDP would...
It's like he was forcing
it. Yeah. When DDP went into the crowd, he was super over, and the crowd loved it. Now right. This is like John Cena hopping in the crowd because, like, you guys are supposed to like me.
Right.
Do it.
Yeah, the crowds look legit like, we don't know if we're with this.
Yeah.
But anyway, we go to the back, and we go to a video promo of the WWE 2005 Hall of Fame recap.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great class this was.
Great class.
Hogan, Piper, Paul Orndorff, Jimmy Hart, Nikolai Volkoff, Iron Sheik, and Bob Orton. So pretty much the entire WrestleMania card.
Yeah, WrestleMania won completely.
But then Mean Gene comes out into the arena and introduces each one of these gentlemen to get their well-deserved applause and standing ovations.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do a video promo for our main event. And then we go right to match number 8, which is between
Triple H with Ric Flair versus Batista.
And this is for the World Heavyweight title. And Lemmy is playing live as Triple H has his, you know, standard huge WrestleMania entrance.
Yep.
And he comes down to the ring, and then Batista comes out, and he's the Animal. And they have, like, the big stare down in the middle, and you know something big's going to happen. And then these two start to wrestle, and nothing really happens.
Yeah.
It was I didn't think this match was very great at all. What were your thoughts on this match?
I agree. I was kind of bored for most of it. There was a couple good spots, but generally speaking, I'm like, this is a 24-minute match or something
right.
like that. That was like... The amount of work that they actually did would have fit in a 4 or 5 minute match.
Yeah, the psychology of this match.
Match that's worthy, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The psychology of this match was that, you know, Batista's the underdog and he's got to beat his master, his teacher, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got to overcome the obstacles of Ric Flair. And because there were a lot of moves that ended with Batista close to the apron and then Flair would go over and choke him or hit him or,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of weaken him.
Yeah.
While Triple H was using the referee to you know, get him from looking over there. But,
yeah.
you know, it was just that they were trying to build Batista as this kind of sympathetic, got to overcome all the odds to win type of thing. I just didn't think it worked.
Yeah.
And then Batista had so many botches in this match.
Mm-hmm.
The botch of the very early on in the match, there was, you know, he whipped Triple H on the ropes and then he was going to press him.
Yeah, yeah. Gorilla press line.
Gorilla press him up over his head, and he couldn't get him up over his head, so they just kind of did a quick improvised power slam.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the best slam he could do as he was falling.
Mm-hmm.
That segment they were doing on the stairs when he was doing the catapult.
Yeah.
Triple H looked like he had to do all of that
mm-hmm.
because of, you know, it didn't seem like Batista could really get the momentum yeah. for him to kind of ricochet into the ring post and get knocked out.
Well, for Batista's defense on that one, that is kind of an awkward position. But you're agreed.
But we can't have it in the main event looking like shit.
Right. Yeah, do this on a house show.
Because
like, practice.
It was supposed to be the impetus of getting color.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't – where was the blade?
This one, they didn't show it. Like, it was definitely when Batista was setting up for the catapult.
Right.
He had his arms ready, so that way Batista could, so Triple H could cut himself. So when he launches into the post, he's already bleeding.
Okay.
So he can go like this, because his hand, he did have the blade in his hand.
Okay.
But, so I didn't see it either because the camera was not.
Show
it. Yeah, they didn't show.
But anyway, like this move is supposed to be the impetus to weaken the Triple H character because he's going to be just bleeding everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it just it didn't look brutal enough to draw blood
because
of the way he just kind of careened in the pole. Just wasn't vicious.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, oh, this is just geographical.
Yeah.
But the rest of the match is supposed to be played out as Triple H has this just blood just oozing from his head.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this match didn't do anything for me, and I don't know if it's just the characters or just the way they work.
Mm-hmm.
But it also just didn't really have the psychology. The thing didn't happen at the end where, Triple H has got a proponent on the outside. He's got someone that's going to – you got the dirtiest player in the game that can't get him a win. So something has to happen to keep that from happening.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just didn't work.
I agree. It almost seems like Triple H was bladed because he thought that the match needed it in order to help.
Well, I think he just wanted to get beaten – with like a handicap.
Yeah.
In other words, he wanted to stay strong by being, hey, I lost because I lost so much blood.
Yeah. It was overall, it was just like, it wasn't worthy of the main event status.
Correct.
It would have been, I think this match, we would still be saying the same things about it, but we wouldn't have felt so badly about it if it were like the second match on the card.
Yeah. If it were earlier in the show, I think we would have been saying, hey, this is a really good effort from these guys. But,
not a great match, but okay.
They took up 20 minutes to kind of culminate this thing.
Yeah.
Dave Bautista wins. He's the new world heavyweight champion, and he celebrates in the center of the ring as we go home.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads us to our award, Jway, for WrestleMania 21.
Yeah.
Who is your pop of the night?
My pop of the night, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I've done it fucking 15 times.
Hey, listen, man, that's why he is who he is.
He's Hogan.
For me, it was the I'll just say when Stone Cold stuns Roddy Piper.
That was a good one.
But these guys are forever over.
Mm-hmm.
My botch of the night was the Batista failed press slam. I thought it just looked really bad. And, coming from a dude that's as strong as he is, I don't know if it was the way kind of Triple H went into it or what the miscommunication was. It just, man, that's a critical part of that match to have something look non-devastating. What is your botch of the night, sir?
My botch of the night, it's not a complete botch, but it was almost Kurt Angle's moonsault.
Yeah.
Because that was really, it was so close to being awful.
Yeah. Shades of Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania 19?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep. It was almost awful.
Jue, what is your bump of the night, sir?
My bump of the night, I'm going Shawn Michaels on the table. When he springboard into the table onto the announcer's table
and didn't give.
Anytime it doesn't give, it just makes it look that much worse to me.
Yes.
You know, it's weird.
Yes. My bump of the night is Benoit off the top of the ladder with the head bump.
That
looked brutal. It was sold brutally by Benoit. And it looked incredible.
There's no way that doesn't hurt.
No. That was painful. And with this, like the stitches, he was bleeding immediately.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
My spot of the night was the Bob Orton knocks out the Undertaker, into the RKO, into the tombstone for the win. I just like the use of the legend.
Mm-hmm.
I like the use of the gimmick from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I thought it was done really well. It didn't look like that could have looked super hokey.
Right.
I thought it came off looking great, and I really liked it. What was your spot of the night, sir?
My spot of the night, Shelton Benjamin running up that ladder.
That was great.
That was so cool. It was such a cool move.
Really inventive, and it was thanks to Christian Wink.
Yeah.
It was pulled off really great,
and
it looked fantastic.
I agree.
What was your worst match of the night, sir?
Sumo match. Aki Bono versus Big Show.
I would have... It was brief and terrible.
Yeah, I didn't need to see any of that.
But still, the worst thing of that night was Trish Stratus and Christy Hemme.
Fair enough.
The only thing that saved that one was they were much better to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I would have preferred Trish Stratus and Christy Hemme sumo match because at least we would have gotten some G-strings out there. That would have been great. Jue, what is your best match of the night?
Well, it was Undertaker versus Randy Orton until Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle.
That's one of the best matches I've ever seen.
It was a really good match.
And it's on the biggest stage possible, so I'm glad they got that huge audience for it.
Yep.
House show, pay-per-view, anything, this would have been the top of the card. I can't imagine. There are a few matches that I've seen that would equal this one.
Right.
just a great match for these guys. So, Jue, who is your MVP for WrestleMania 21?
There's a reason they call him Mr. WrestleMania. Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels.
That's who I have as
he
well.
He is so good at what he does. You know?
We talked about it earlier, I think offline, but the difference between HBK and Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H, you know, and I don't even know what he thinks of his place in wrestling history, but if you said, like, these are two people that were kind of in the same era at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, Triple H is working with Dave Bautista, who's not a seasoned in the ring, and that match doesn't go well because, you know, Triple H isn't as good as making someone look like a gazillion dollars.
Right.
HBK, he can make, and now, granted, he's working with Kurt Angle in this one,
yeah,
but I think if the roles were reversed, HBK would have found a way to still make Dave Bautista look fantastic. You know?
I agree. It still would have been a good match.
Yeah. So, yeah, HBK is my MVP, and that takes us to the end of the show.
Yeah.
Great job today, sir.
We did it.
So that's WrestleMania 21. Next week, we're going to be reviewing WrestleMania 22, and here are some of the things to look forward to in this one. Ooh. Edge versus Mick Foley, The Undertaker versus Mark Henry, Shawn Michaels versus Mr. McMahon. That should be pretty interesting.
I don't even remember that.
Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton and Kurt Angle for the World Heavyweight title.
Mm-hmm.
And then our main event is John Cena versus Triple H for the WWE Championship.
Ooh.
Interesting. Yeah. So until next time, this has been Hollywood Terry Catlett here with the amazing Jue Legend Killer Holt. And we will see you at Mania 22 next time.
Bye.